The epistle reading this morning comes from the first letter to John, chapter 2, commencing to read at verse 9. Those who claim to be in the light but hate a fellow believer are still in the darkness. Those who love their fellow believers live in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But those who hate a fellow believer are in the darkness and walk around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Hear the word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 9, commencing at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am in the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," this means sent, so the man went and washed and came home seeing. And now to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. How is everyone after Christmas, eh? Good to see you here. And we Anne and I had a lovely Christmas with our family in Port Macquarie, but it's good to be back, and we did miss Christmas at St Clement's, which is a very, very special time, isn't it? And we did miss it. Let's pray. God, open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, open our minds that we may understand. Open our hearts that we may receive what you have for us here in this place today. Amen. Please be seated. And can I add, for those of you who are visiting or here for the first time, my welcome to Ruth's welcome. It's great to have you here, see so many here on this, the last Sunday of the year. My name's Greg, by the way, and I'm an associate pastor here at St Clement's. At 6 years old, my eyes were tested, and I was found to be seriously short-sighted, like -6 in one eye and -6.5 in the other, and that's pretty bad, I can tell you. So right through school and university, I wore these dark-coloured, heavy-framed glasses with thick lenses. But leaving the relatively poverty-stricken state of a university student, I was able to afford a pair of contact lenses, the hard variety they were back then. I recall in those early days one of my lenses dropping out on the page of a student's mathematics workbook as I leaned over to help her in class. And then there was the weird sight of the referees calling time out in a basketball game while 10 grown men crawled around on the court looking for one of my lenses that a stray elbow had dislodged under the basket. Fast forward to 11 years ago, and slight cataracts were starting to cloud my vision after wearing those hard contact lenses for 45 years. So after minor surgery, I was introduced to intraocular lens implants. And I've got to say that these lens implants are just the best thing, aren't they, Jeanette? Technology has brought us so many benefits in so many areas of life. And I can now read the smallest font here, here, and here. Maybe my vision level now isn't quite the ideal 20/20, but I reckon it's not far from it. In 2 days, 2019 will be over, and we'll enter a new year, 2020. And the question I want to ask you today is not, how's your eyesight? I'm not going to ask, do you have 20/20 vision? I'm not going to ask, do you need to make an appointment to see your optometrist? Maybe you do, but that's not my business. The questions I want to ask us ourselves today as we approach a new year are these. How clear is my spiritual vision? How close am I to achieving 20/20 spiritual vision? What kind of lenses am I looking at the world through? Am I suffering from spiritual blindness? What causes spiritual blindness? And where can I go to get the best treatment for my spiritual blindness? So what causes spiritual blindness? Well, there's heaps of references to spiritual blindness in the scriptures, and I've just picked out four here for us to take a quick look at. So grab your Bibles or your phones, and we'll dive into it right away. You know, what strikes me is how relevant these words are for us as we sit here today on the threshold of the year 2020. First, some words of Jesus in John chapter 12 and verse 40. John chapter 12 and verse 40. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Jesus quotes here a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 6 about the hardening of the hearts of those who refuse to believe in him. It's not that God has hardened their hearts or that God has blinded their eyes. They're actually hardening their own hearts by refusing to hear the Spirit's voice. Ancient Israel experienced spiritual blindness. People in Jesus' day experienced spiritual blindness. And spiritual blindness is common today too. In any age, people refuse to obey God and instead fall into idolatry. Jesus says people refuse to see and deliberately close their ears so they can't then turn and be healed from their sins. The point is that the more we suppress his voice, the more our hearts hardened until we reach a point where we won't hear his voice anymore. Our hearts hardened and so our eyes become blinded to the beauty that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spiritual blindness happens when we don't listen to the Spirit's voice. And second, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Spiritual blindness comes not only from a refusal to hear the Spirit's voice, but also when we are blinded by the gods of this world. These gods have so blinded the minds of the unbelievers that they can't see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Spiritual blindness happens when we are distracted by false gods. Third, in Matthew chapter 23, in verses 23 and 24, Jesus warns in these words, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." Lovely image that, isn't it? Jesus pulls no punches here. This is not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He berates them in no uncertain terms. There's no gilding of the lily. He leaves them nowhere to hide. He tells them, "You're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." No wonder most of the Jews refused to believe in Jesus. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees were blind guides. So it was like the blind leading the blind. There's none so blind as those who refuse to see. And that's true today, isn't it? Just as it was of the religious leaders in Jesus' day. The problem for these blind leaders was that, as Luke says in Luke 18, they were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Spiritual blindness happens when we get our priorities wrong. And fourth and finally, as Anne read to us from the first letter of John, chapter 2. "Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them." We say we're Christian, but how often does our behaviour betray us? We claim to follow Jesus, but we could unknowingly be walking in spiritual darkness. If we say we love God but hate our brothers and sisters, we're just giving lip service to Jesus. A woman once told her pastor that she loved God, but she couldn't stand being around certain people in the church. As a parent, how would you feel if someone came up to you and said that they loved you, but they couldn't stand your children? You'd have a problem with that, wouldn't you? Spiritual blindness happens when we don't love a brother or a sister. But friends, I've got good news for you this morning. There is a cure. God has provided a cure for spiritual blindness. And Jesus himself reveals the cure in John chapter 9. Here we meet a blind man whom Jesus heals not once, but twice. There are two parts to this story, and they reveal two miracles that Jesus performs for this blind man. So here's the first part. Are you ready? John chapter 9 and verse 1. "As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing." The disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They're thinking there must be some spiritual cause for this man's blindness. Someone must have done something pretty bad to deserve this. We call this sort of thinking karma. It lies at the heart of Buddhism and Hinduism. It's the law of spiritual cause and effect. This man was blind from birth, so they asked, who sinned? Whose fault was it? Did he sin when he was in the womb, or was it his parents' fault? But listen to Jesus' response. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. Jesus is saying there's no specific sin that either this man or his parents committed that caused him to be born blind. I mean, all people are sinners, and there's no direct causal link between a specific sin and a specific suffering. You can't look at someone's situation in life and then read from that how faithful or unfaithful they've been to God in the past. Let's be absolutely clear today that there is no direct correlation between sin and suffering. Life doesn't work like that. Jesus makes it clear that the explanation of this man's suffering is not to be found in a sinful past, but rather in God's future purposes. And that's the key here. Jesus says that there are works, plural, that God intends to accomplish in this man's life. The first is to restore his physical vision. And without question, Jesus performs an incredible miracle here. As the blind man himself later testifies in verse 32, no one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. Now, as usual, the Pharisees were pretty upset about all this, and verses 8 through to 34 of this chapter record some pretty hostile argy-bargy between them and the man who can now see and his parents. And this ends with the Pharisees being so angry that they throw the man out. But Jesus is just getting started. You see, this man is not just physically blind. Jesus hears that the Pharisees have tossed him out, and so he goes after him. And so we have part two of the story. John records for us this precious little interaction between Jesus and the man born blind. From verse 35, Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Do you know why Jesus comes back to speak to the man? Jesus seeks out this man because he wants him to receive not just physical vision, but spiritual vision. The gift of sight through our eyes is a wonderful blessing, but a vision that leads to eternity is an eternal blessing. It's so easy for us to hear about this miracle of a blind man receiving his sight and say, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great?" It would be easy for us to miss the whole point of this sign. Of course it's brilliant that this man receives his sight. Of course it's a wonderful blessing from God. But a greater blessing, a much greater blessing, is that he now knows Jesus. And because he knows Jesus, his spiritual eyes are open. And he receives eternal life. This miracle is a sign. A sign that points to Jesus as the light of the world. The one who is able to open the physical eyes of the blind is also able to give every single person spiritual vision so they can see God and come to saving faith in him. Friends, when it comes to Jesus, every one of us is born with cataracts clouding our vision. By ourselves, we are blinded to the real identity of Jesus. It's a complete mystery, so much so that the leaders of the day sent him to die on a cross. The Apostle Paul explains it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. "We declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So how can we receive 2020 spiritual vision? How can we come to a clear understanding of who Jesus is? Paul goes on to tell us it is only by God's Spirit. He continues in verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. We need God's Spirit to reveal God's love to us. Our eyes can't see, our ears can't hear, our minds can't understand until God reveals himself to us by his Spirit. Some of us received our spiritual vision a long time ago when the message of the gospel, the message of God's love, found a home in our hearts, when we repented and turned away from our sin and received Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. For others, that has happened more recently. Or you may be here today and you're genuinely seeking to discover that spiritual vision for yourself. Wherever we are on our spiritual journey, none of us knows everything there is to know about God. None of us has perfect 2020 spiritual vision. None of us has a complete knowledge of who Jesus is and who we are in him. In many ways, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Hey, we have so much to look forward to, don't we? In Hebrews 12, the writer urges us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. There's a New Year resolution for you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Does keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus mean that no bad stuff will happen to you in the year 2020? Of course not. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that your spiritual vision will be much, much clearer. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, then you'll be less likely to be blinded by not listening to the Spirit's voice. You'll be less likely to be blinded by chasing after false gods. You'll be less likely to be blinded by getting your priorities out of whack. You'll be less likely to be blinded by not loving your neighbour. C.S. Lewis wrote this. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. Remember that C.S. Lewis didn't turn from his atheism and see the light of the gospel until he was well into adulthood, and he was able to write this. I read it again. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And friends, that's what it means to have 2020 spiritual vision, to see everything that happens to you, the good and the bad, through the lens of a strong, unwavering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his saving love, his power, and his grace. May each of us approach this new year with renewed hope, with firm trust, with well-founded confidence, because we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today and we confess that there have been times over this past year when our spiritual vision has been clouded, when we've been blinded by not hearing your Spirit's voice, when we've been blinded by chasing after false gods, when we've been blinded by getting our priorities out of whack, when we've been blinded by not loving our neighbour. Father, forgive us. In the power of your Spirit, remove any spiritual cataracts that cloud our view of your world. As we start a new year as followers of Jesus, enable and encourage us daily to view our life circumstances through the clear lens of faith. Renew our resolve to keep our eyes fixed on him for our joy and for his glory. Amen.